So, good morning, everyone. Thank you for having me here to talk today. I feel quite privileged, and yeah, I'm just glad to be here. I also quickly want to say thank you to everyone who helped me today. You know, Dad, obviously, and Dave for taking me out for coffee yesterday. Thank you. Yeah, and Gramps for helping me read the Book of Job. So yeah, we're going to read Job today. I asked my Gramps a couple months ago if we could just look through a couple of Bible verses, scriptures, whatever, just so I could get a better feel of the Bible itself and just so I could know more about the Bible. And he knows the Bible like the back of his hand. It is just crazy. So I asked him if I could do a couple Bible studies with him, and he said yes. So I asked him if I could do Job. And Job is my favorite book in the Bible, simply because I'm not massively faithful. I'll pray for something, and then I just won't. It won't be set on my mind that it will happen. I just don't have enough faith. And just to see a book, someone like Job in the Bible, just like, he did not know what was going on in heaven, and so he had his heart on God, and it was just amazing. So, yeah, I just really like the book of Job. And when you read it, you just read it as more than text on a page. You know, it's something, it's in your heart. It touches you differently each time. It's just, it is amazing, each book in the Bible. Let's start off with a bit of reading. Okay, so this is Job chapter 1, verse 6 to 12. One day the members of the heavenly court came to present themselves before the Lord, and the accuser Satan came with them. "Where have you come from?" the Lord asked Satan. Satan answered the Lord, "I have been patrolling the earth, watching everything that's going on." Then the Lord asked Satan, "Have you noticed my servant Job? He's the finest man in all the earth. He is blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil." Satan replied to the Lord, "Yes, but Job has good reason to fear God. You've always put a wall of protection around him and his home and his property. You have made him prosper in everything he does. Look how rich he is. But reach out and take away everything he has, and he will surely curse your face." All right, "You may test him," the Lord said. "Do whatever you want with everything he possesses, but do not harm him physically." So Satan left the Lord's presence. All right. So as I read this book, I was a bit confused about how Satan could be in God's presence. I just thought, how can that be? Because God is just perfect and Satan is obviously not. So I spoke to my gramps about it, and he told me about this kind of split between earthly views and heavenly views. And the way we see things on earth can be completely different to how we see things on heaven. And that is a lot of what Job is. Job is, you see the earthly view of it in Job's perspective, and you see what actually happens in heaven. And it's just two completely different stories. So when we see something happening on earth, we can straight away view it as something differently than what we see in heaven, or what is seen as in heaven. And it's just, Job is just so mainly about this, and it's just, yeah. Job was a good person, we're going to go back now to verse 1, I'm going to do verse 1 to 6. "So there was once a man named Job who lived in the land of Uz. He was blameless, a man of complete integrity. He feared God and stayed away from evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 teams of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and he employed many servants. He was in fact the richest person in the entire area. Job's sons would take turns praying feasts in their homes, and they would also invite their 3 sisters to celebrate with them. When these celebrations ended, sometimes after several days, Job would purify his children. He would get up early in the morning and offer a burnt offering for each of them, for Job said to himself, 'Perhaps my children have sinned and have cursed God in their hearts,' and this was Job's regular practice." So Job was just a blameless man. He was completely, like, for God. He was a real do-gooder. He was a kind of a olden age Ned Flanders kind of guy. Hardly doodly. So he would pray, and he would burn offerings for his children as well, because he would just believe that, he'd try and be perfect for his kids as well. So when something happened to Job, a lot of his friends thought God was punishing Job. But, of course, God was not punishing Job. And this is, again, the views between earthly and heavenly, and how we can see how earthly views, how his friends are thinking, God must be punishing you, you must have done something wrong. But no, because it's the heavenly earthy split. What happens in heaven is not what happens on earth. And we can automatically link good behaviour with an easy life as well. And we can say stuff like, oh, look what I've done today. I gave money to the poor. I brought someone to church. Look how good I am, God. Can I have this now? Can I have that now? And it's not like that. Because again, that's the earthly view of things. And that's not the way that we should be seeing it. We should try and look at the way that God wants us to look at it, where if we do something, we should do it for him. Right. Brings me on to the third point, which is actually the suffering part. Hooray. God isn't mean. He doesn't play with us like we're toys, and he's not a huge game master up in the sky, you know, doing bad things to us. Oh, I'll make him do this, that'll give me a chuckle. Or I'll put him in this situation, oh, wouldn't that be funny? You know, he's not a mean God. He's a good person. And a lot of the times when we do go through bad things, we can kind of just see it in the earthy perspective of, like, why are you doing this, God? And, like, we can just so easily forget what he could be doing something different in us. And God has designed us all. I was speaking to Clive on Friday, and he said about me speaking today, and he said, just be you. And that is true, because God has designed each and every one of us. He has designed us. He knows me exactly. He knows what I'm good at. He knows what I'm bad at. He knows what I can and I can't do. So he knows me. So he has designed us. He has designed me to be me now, and he designed me for the perfect Christian that he wants me to be and that he needs me to be for him. And of course, we can't get there without going through some experiences, and whether they be good or bad. I can't preach about how good God is if I don't know how good he is. I can't talk about how it hurts to break my leg if I've never broken my leg. You have to go through certain experiences to know different stories and to be able to help bring more people to God. I'm going to use my nan as an example for this. My nan was talking to me about when my uncle kind of walked away from God, and how she was really emotional about it. She was really upset about it. And then she then told me about afterwards how she's able to help people, and now how when people walk away from God, and she can just sympathize with the families now, because she has gone through that experience, and she wouldn't have been able to do that if she hasn't gone through the experience herself. So again, earth and heavenly split. We have to remember that if bad things happen to us, we can't just automatically assume that God's made a mistake or that it's not the right thing that God's done, because God is perfect. He knows what he is doing. So, yeah, it's easy to get mixed up in the views of earth, but we need to just view higher and just think of more heavenly purposes. Okay. So, I wouldn't be saying this if I didn't have a reason. So, as I was reading through this, I kind of thought back to the past years in my life, and they've been interesting, to say the least. The past 2 years, my mum and my dad, they got divorced, and it was quite a tough divorce. It was quite scrappy, so it wasn't too fun. And yeah, through that time, I kind of got a distance with my mum as well, and we left our old church. And in that, we also had to form a new family. So it was all quite full on, all at one point. So I just questioned God. I said to him, well, why are you doing this? I don't understand. How is this best for me? How is this going to help me? Why are you doing this? And again, it's not the right thing to do. Why should I question God? I mean, he knows what he's doing. How do I know what's best for me? I mean, it's like a child saying, I want chocolate, I want sweets, it's good for me. And the parent says, no, I know what's good for you, it's vegetables. Thanks, Dad. which then actually brings me on to why I think these things happened. And it's only when you look back on it from a future point that you can actually see why these things are happening. One of them is because you have a much more stable family now. Yeah, it's still a work in progress, but hey-o. And also, to bring me to new life. In my old church, I would have been supported, but not like here. I mean, the fact that I haven't been here for a year yet and I'm already up here preaching is just something else. Yeah, and to look out and have everyone smile on your face when I'm talking, even though it's probably stuttery and whatnot. So it's only when you look back that you can actually see what God is doing in your life. So, I just want to finish this talk up with put your trust in God, because he knows what he's doing. On my notes, I wrote it as two words, just have faith. Because, well, no matter what you see it as on earth, God knows what he's doing. God has a plan for you. And to go through bad things, go through good things, just put your heart on God, because he will keep you safe, and he will carry you through the troubles. Thank you.